Good evening, everybody, and welcome to our regular Thursday stream. We seem to be pumping out the content these days, hopefully keeping people a bit happier, and hopefully not tanking our numbers, because apparently making content on YouTube can ruin your YouTube channel.
Yeah, the so wait, you if you make more content, you get less views. That's very input output. Very good.
It is extremely input output. But I'm actually joined, I think for the first time in a little while, by both of our co-hosts here. So we actually have Trig
Indeed.
and Evelyn and me.
It
Because
is a
good evening.
Starman and the Boomer, and also me.
Yes, it is
Yes.
The
Indeed.
Starman and the
Indeed.
Boomers and also Evelyn's corner.
That's why I'm in the corner.
Yeah.
Well, Trig was on the Saturday stream we did about
I
lead 3D
was.
printed firearms, which I think got like heavily throttled because most people don't know we did it.
You say that though. I've had three or four people contact me directly saying they've really enjoyed that.
Oh,
So.
I did as well, but I also had people saying that they had to be sent it directly, even though they're subscribed to us and have notifications on.
Oh, damn.
So that definitely did get shuffled around a little bit. I'll do the normal shilling before we get too far then. As always, the best way to support us is through Streamlabs. We have active YouTube monetization, but they do take the biggest cut. So if you want to ask us a question, I'll put the Streamlabs link. It'll be the pin the message in the chat for now. Trig's details are all linked down below. We have the Substack link down below.
And
And we also
also
have,
the Telegram, which is where we are now.
yes, we are using Telegram a bit more heavily because basically everybody got the ban. There was like a big ban wave before all this stuff really kicked off, which is again quite suspicious.
Don't know,
But
the more I use it, the more I'm starting to actually enjoy Telegram somewhat. I like the fact that there's no normies. No, like there are definitely spergs, and there's definitely a lot of them, but you don't have anyone bump into your stuff and be like, "What's this? Can you explain yourself?" Like,
yeah.
there's no, it, the midwits aren't there, which is nice.
I mean, there's most
Yes.
people would get my what's the joke that my favorite insect is a mold bug.
Yeah, Trig, you send another send help and chat again. You're not getting dinner tomorrow. You'll be chained to that desk for the end of this week, I tell you.
promises, promises.
But you, I'm gonna say you, Trig, have been doing your D&D, haven't you?
I have been doing D&D. In fact, I've been DMing the D&D for the last nearly 2 months now, which has been
Oh.
fun. I've been torturing people and putting people on pikes and literally running a bunch of spurgs through the Inquisition and seeing if I can kill them. I've so far killed three out of four of the group, which is
Hooray! M
yeah.
murder, murder hobo, but it's the DM. Who could have seen this coming?
Yes.
We should probably, I don't know, Evelyn, this stream was your idea, so do you want to introduce the concept? Because,
I suppose it's a slightly nebulous group of phenomena we're talking about, really,
it is.
that all sort of culminates in effects that me and you have kind of discussed in length in both streams and articles, which is, I mean, I think most easily you could just be like, well, it's all a surrogate activity and refer to Ted Kaczynski, which is perfectly correct. And we could just look at it as like, mass media, social media, no action in the real world, end of. But I think, I don't know, for the sake of, ironically enough, a little bit of entertainment, possibly, we're just going to poke through some stuff that just facilitates like a constant, as we've used the term in the title, a victim narrative. That so much of the content that people consume, not necessarily what they see themselves so much, but very much the content they consume. I mean, there are people who put themselves in that victim narrative position, but that's a whole discussion that we'll get onto with a very online aspect. But just the, I don't know, the way that wokeness and all this kind of stuff is treated, it's, maybe it is fair to say that wokeness is an imperial force, but that doesn't necessarily mean that we should put ourselves on the back foot to that and pretend that like we're weak and we're being abused by it. Most of us really aren't, in a grand sense.
Yes, I mean there is points to be made. I mean, people like dare I say the Mr. Robinson name has definitely had it a bit on the rough side. But then again, you know, maybe he brought some of that on himself, etc. But yeah, there is definitely an awful lot of grifters out there.
I don't even think it's necessarily active grifting. I think it's people who either have fooled themselves into thinking they're performing some sort of important role, or are just none the wiser. Much like many of the people on the left, who, you know, we could refer to as useful idiots. The reason they're useful idiots is because they don't realise they're doing it.
Well, yes, true.
There's this whole narrative that becomes a feedback loop that we've seen that simply like amplifies what we have referred to for, I guess, years now as the ritual humiliation from the left. Most of this stuff, especially the online fights, the online slap fights of all different kinds, the intra-right slap fights, the anti-woke slap fights, especially the trans stuff, does not, without the advent of the internet, actually intrude into people's
No.
minds or people's lives.
No,
It's
not at all.
very, very rare that you will encounter this stuff
I don't know, I might just go
in the
to an
real
image
world.
straight away for the sake of maybe in a slightly mimetic fashion getting across the idea of the stream.
Yes. But the for those of you who are confused by the thumbnail, that's Gavin McGuinness's censored.tv, and yes, that is Milo, and that is Laura Loomer, if you remember those people, and that is a troll face t-shirt, and I think this image dates from like 2018, but it feels like it dates from about 2015,
Yeah.
because that is the eternal current year that we live in, and nobody can seem to get past the
We
excuse
are
me,
still living in
what,
the 2014 paradigm. It's
yeah.
not gone away yet.
Excuse me,
Ugh.
where is my free speech, guys? Wow, I can't believe the left would do. It's that over and over and over and over and over and over and over again.
Every time anybody mentions Laura Loomer, my brain immediately goes to the handcuffing and then the wetting themselves. And then the poor me, this has happened situation, which it makes me sad that I have to remember it, quite frankly.
Briggs just it triggers this image, but with Laura Loomer.
Yeah, loomer, 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 loomer.
No, it's just we
No,
just put it just in the
nose.
circle. It's her chained to that railing with like there's that famous image where she's like she didn't piss herself, Trigg. She threatened to piss herself. Okay,
Yeah.
that's a very big distinction there. That is
Yeah,
a
it's not like
big
the
deal.
it's not like the Liberty Hangout girl. She didn't threaten to shit herself. She just literally shit herself.
People get so mad when you talk when you well she got quietly everyone kind of quietly backed away from her after the whole Liberty Hangout thing, decided to change its narrative about seven times and then disappear off into the weeds. I've not heard hide nor hair of those people for a long time because everyone's realized belatedly they're a bunch of fannies. Because we because that whole Hopian thing is the arse has fallen out of that as well, hasn't it?
I've not really paid attention to it at all, and I can't view their stuff on Telegram, so
I can
sucks
view.
to be them, I suppose.
Yeah, well, it's funny. Again, that's a good example of the. There's a whole. The problem is this narrative and this mindset affects a whole swathe of the various very online communities. There's the I'm always reminded of those like I need to I'm in the middle of actually making like a YouTube poop at the moment because I'm
Is
trying to
this
make
the
those.
idea I had the other week?
Yes, it is. It is the idea you had the other week, but it's I found the perfect clip with like awkward pauses and everything of like there's this terrible clip that people keep saying to me of the soy father bigging up the whole Elon's gonna make people go by their real name and stand by their ideas in the marketplace. And I'm just every time there's a really bad take, I'm just adding like a different fart noise because there's these little the inter I think it's about latency or whatever something in the stream. I don't know what the hell's going on. There's these little pauses where they fit perfectly, and when I just started inserting them, I just couldn't stop laughing. Sorry, that's a bit of an aside, but no, it's the it's the white niggers problem, really. It's the
That is a
people
large
who,
part of it.
yeah, it's the people who allow their supposed ideological enemies to insert themselves in the inside of their minds and let them live there. you know, rent free, and it becomes the thing that consumes them. We've had this discussion with a few people behind the scenes and off air, but like, there's a lot of people on the very online right that just spend all day being mad about trannies existing, and that is their whole day.
Mm.
It's like those people who are mad about Trump existing, and that's their whole day.
Yep.
They have like estrogen derangement syndrome or something. I don't know, Trey. How often have you? I'm sure you've encountered a few of these people.
Yes. My take is that the internet is full of extremists. There is very, very few sort of calm, reasonable people. I ran into a few of them. I had a nice chat with a guy on Twitter the other day who was a PhD in physics, and we were having a good old giggle about Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. The reason that sticks in my mind as being a fairly benign but actually unusual thing, because it was kind of unusual. What I would have as a normal conversation actually happened online. I wasn't running into someone that was going, Re-X is bad and must be banned, killed, put to death, put against the wall,
oh, there's, etc. There's times and places for things like that, but there's a lot of people, again, who seem completely incapable of having a normal conversation.
Mm. Because I suppose that's part of the issue. They're not having normal conversations because their conversations aren't existing in the real world. And because our conversations don't exist in the real world, they consequently don't discuss things that happen in the real world. There's that big Telegram message I wrote the other day. I think it's maybe worth reading at least a decent chunk of it out to sort of more contextualize some of the issues we have with an actual issue. If I can get my voice to stop drying out.
I was going to say you are right though, in that there's people out there who are having discourse about the quality of the local jams that are more effective in the real world than a lot of these very online discussions.
Anyway, you can
get that up. That'd be useful.
I can't help but see a lot of the anti-grooming sentiment as much else than an expression of a victim complex. Scores of young disaffected men have been told time and time again by the media and rage-bait internet schlock that the world around them has been turned gay. Many of those young men are left with no recourse or experience within the real world to counter these claims and ultimately come to accept them. This can be seen in the 1 in 5 Gen Z being LGBT statistic that gets bandied about at whim, with no scepticism whatsoever of the figure itself. This, in effect, signal boosts this otherwise useless and likely manipulated statistic far and wide, as a sizable number of right-wingers need it to be true to confirm to themselves how effective the left is, so they can feel righteous in their victimhood. Think of the left's dictator Trump narrative, as you mentioned before. This is an important component of how leftist perception management works. They first skew the image of reality, whilst making very little headway into skewing the actual reality itself, because arguably the reality itself is much harder to warp. Furthermore, many of them understand how powerful the dissociation of modern man is, and that his habitat is primarily the internet. This does not mean that I reject the idea that the left has created a greater area of acceptance for LGBT people. It's clearly the case, as is the damage that has been done to children. However, if we only believe what the left has to say on this front, then how do we know how bad it really is? And then I want to make a further point, just saying, you know, on my own behalf, I can speak to the fact that trans people are still very much an oddity to those who do not exist exclusively in online spaces. It's almost as if the problem originates with the online content and its consumption, as opposed to issues existing in the real world. So, I see read out. Thank you for listening. you can all clap.
Thank you for coming to my TED talk today. Again, it's a discussion I think me and you have had before, Trig, about the fact that like most people in real life do not care about most of this. Like,
oh yeah. To paraphrase what I just said in chat, is that the internet is war, hate, nightmare, really this bad. And you look outside and there's a bird tweeting in the tree, the sun's shining, and you know, your neighbor sort of go, all right, how's it going, mate? And you're, oh, fancy coming over for a beer later. The world is normal. The internet is very abnormal.
It's something I try to get across to people during the COVID stuff. It's you need to have like aggressive normality is one of the most powerful things you can do. And unless the agents of the system are actually going to come and physically get you, the way that they get you is by entrapping your mind. And if you let them in, there's a lot of people who became very depressed, very paranoid, during COVID, where you really could just ignore a lot of it. You shouldn't be blasé and say it isn't affecting people. It was and it still is, but letting it get to you, is purely an informational thing.
I mean, I can forgive people somewhat though. I mean, I was at university. From 2017 to 2021, and especially if you live on campus and you don't have loads and loads of money, so you can't be out every weekend, you're gonna have to kind of make do with what's there and the people that are there. And a lot of them are just, because they are of your own age group, are all online and they're all obsessed with this shit. So I can understand why people end up like this. The soy jack here. It's because they've had to sort of develop into adults in an environment where there has just been lots of weirdo, spiteful mutants that they've had to engage with. But within that, the wider world around them doesn't know about this and it doesn't give a shit. So you should, as you said, try and just like be above it. Ride the tiger, as it were.
Very much so. It's something, again, that I think is indicative of, well, of people, a lot of people who are very online don't have proper workplaces. Most of the people I've spoken to who are more in the anti-SJW, let's say, or, followers of someone like Jordan Peterson, are people who have never worked in a professional capacity. They don't have careers. They don't have, friends, let's say, with any level of prestige. They don't go out very often. They don't own a suit.
they don't go to Nomos.
Well, yeah, basically, they don't manifest themselves in real life. They are very online, and they are very not offline. And that really does warp their perception. That makes them unable, I think, to process a lot of the stuff that's going on around them, and to see that these normal conversations that we talked about, Trey, that you're talking to your neighbor, talking to your work colleagues, talking to your friends and your family, this stuff doesn't really intrude, and it's only made to intrude when it's forced into the narrative with a huge amount of effort. It takes a lot of effort and political capital for this, and to allow yourself to be kind of subsumed in the dialectic, you're doing the work for them.
Yep.
I mean, I was, for a chunk of time. I mean, I've been a conspiracy theorist for ages, but up until sort of 2016. In fact, it was a little before that. I was, very, very heavily into jobs, heavily into work. Didn't have a huge amount of time to be online. And real things actually did happen. And a friend of mine, bad stuff happened to her in a taxi. That got me looking into things. And then you end up down a rabbit hole. And there is this whole sort of rabbit hole theory of you suddenly end up in echo chambers. But once you're into the internet culture, it can be very, consuming of your life. And I'm sure we all know people who have spent way, way too much time on the internet and think it's real life. And I know you then go over to your mums and start talking about, what Sargon said last night, Lamau, and they look at you as if you've gone mad, and they're right to.
Well, there's a big thing. Being as I am, like an internet old person, being somebody who's been, probably more online than I should have been for a lot longer than I should have been, because I've been on the internet really semi-consistently since the late 90s. When I was like 9 years old, and that's probably done terrible things to my brain.
I was in my 20s then.
I was going to say, but there was a big movement in like the chans and things like that, and all those old style forums, is that like the internet doesn't real. it really is that there was this spirit that there was delineation between reality and the internet, and that actually kept things a lot healthier for a long time, because people, it's very Tyler the Creator, ha ha ha, how is cyberbullying real, just turn off the screen stuff. And that was the attitude that people had, because they were I don't know, not to get like grandiose with it, but they were almost like the native peoples of the internet, and they were a lot more, at one with their environment than the normies are. They can't deal with the internet properly, and I think a lot of people who allow it to occupy their day and allow themselves to become the image we've got up there are the people who are, in a sense, engaging with the internet like the normies do.
Well, no, I'm trying to remember. I think Sean, of all people, came up with the term that lots of, what would have been forums before, but group chats now are just red pill support groups,
Yeah.
which I think is a great term of phrase. But when was your first red pill? When did you first get red pilled? About this, that, and the next thing, and then I'm just. Before you know it, it's the when did you get blackpilled? It just carries on and on.
As we've
Dear God.
encountered on, oh, sorry, go on, Drake.
So I'm just replying, dear God, that conversation, because yes, I know it. Anyway, sorry.
Well, you've witnessed them as well, but
Oh,
Discord has them, Telegram has them in spades. It's these like very almost sad sack Wignat support groups
yeah.
in which you get these people who have like this like the media caricature of like the incel, but it's like, black people have ruined my life because
Well, no,
X.
it's the folk that sit in groups and just share stories of like, did you know that there was eight different news stories today of black men killing white women? That's a record for this week, blah 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 blah. But just people who end up just being like aggregators for just the worst of humanity.
Like I said, it's why are you, as a superior Aryan man, allowing a Negro to occupy the inside of your mind and ruin your day?
Why,
Surely.
yeah, why are you letting your superior Aryan brain cells be dominated by Negroid thoughts?
Oh, it's so common. You get it with everybody. I mean, I've spoken to people about it before, with people like Andy Ngo and the whole obsession with Antifa. And allowing them to become like this massive boogeyman, when really they barely exist
Yes.
in almost everywhere. They are so amplified beyond their actual reach, and there's so few of them, and a lot of them are like NGO rent-a-rioter homeless people. As an ideological force, Antifa doesn't exist. It's so, once you dig down into it, and it's like, oh, they're talking about all these people being caught and released. They have to have a catch and release policy because there's so fucking few of them. They have to keep the resources going, because this isn't a, it's not natural. It's not, bottom up. It is top down, and it is deliberately amplified. And the quote unquote online right is very responsible, possibly more responsible for amplifying this message that
But
they
yeah, they
definitely want to be out there.
there is very much a tone in which people talk about, X, Y, or Z group has power. They don't really have power. They are by proxy given power from the regime. I mean, it's not the fact that,
Yes.
like, I mean, this is something we discussed at Nomos, actually. Black Britons. I mean, maybe we'll get taken down for this, but like, they essentially have no culture. Any sort of native Caribbean or African elements of their culture has basically been completely driven out of them. Unless you're like a Sudanese Muslim or something like that, there is no,
Or Kenyan royalty.
yeah, the only authentic black culture, the only authentic black culture is like grime and garage and stabbing each other. So the power they have is not because they're like a strong, consolidated ethnic unit that acts politically. It's more just the fact that they are funneled into acting like that because there's people who want them to facilitate aspects of their agenda, not, some form of nebulous black agenda. Because ultimately it doesn't exist. They don't have an organized minority. They are just organized by some other minority.
This is how like very clever people could hijack the whole black nationalist thing and be like, look at what they've done to your people.
But you
But
just need to go
people
and
aren't.
You just need to go talk to Dizzy Rascal and ask him about the people who wrote his record deals time and time again.
Oh, that comes up. Oh dear, does that come up? I'll read a little bit again. There's a couple of articles that I've really kind of made this point in as a semi-tangential point. But
What one you want? The barking at the headlines one?
get up the permissible activism one first. Actually, just like the last paragraph there. There's a little bit I want to read out to people because it's a very, very central point. And it's that the people in power don't parade out an 8-year-old drag queen because they genuinely believe in the virtue to drag artistry to change the world. They do it as an act of ritual humiliation and transgressive power demonstration. They do it to whip up professional activists and create debate in which we compromise on just a little pedophilia. By the way, I wrote this a year ago in 2021 before the whole Florida debate thing about codifying the age at which you can brainwash kids at 10 years old. I feel like the scruffy beard man prophet in the desert. Yeah.
Scrumpadamus.
We're all a bit there though, dude, at this point. I was watching, what was it, something that Alex Jones did in 2018 when he was ranting about a global pandemic being
Go
used to.
go watch Endgame from 2003, and he's on the money with
Yeah.
every single point.
So much these days, so much. Yeah, no, you're absolutely spot on with this. You were a year early. Damn.
Yeah, ultimately they do it because they want to demonstrate they can and to waste your time engaging in a good faith argument with dishonest people who would do or say anything. That's ultimately the point, though. It's like, why are you wasting your time? Like, this is an actual argument. There's a lot of people online who just get angry about it. But there's other people online who structure, these debates, these arguments, the reply guy video to SJW format that was like the basis of quote unquote, dissident forces online from like 2014 till about 2018, when the format started to die a death a bit because people got sick of it. But that whole thing is predicated on the idea that there is an argument that you can make with these people in which you can persuade them to stop victimizing you. It's a lot of this is like the online right curling up in a ball and just going, please stop hitting me.
Look
Hitting me is wrong over and over again.
at what the left and the powers that be during the 2000s actually achieved. Peter Hitchens was writing right through the 80s and 90s. There was the paleo-libertarians, the paleo-conservatives, and someone that we look to quite a lot, Sam Francis. Now, not to big ourselves up, but Sam Francis in the 80s and the 90s was doing very much what we do now. He just was facilitated more by magazines and, print media as opposed to internet media. However, that stuff all basically kind of died in the mid-90s, and so it's taken some of us, upwards of a decade of chipping away at, SJWism and Gamergate and all this different crap had to happen before we could even develop to the point where, we're back to Sam Francis.
Yeah.
Nearly 30 years of time used just to get back to the point that there was at, because
Oh.
the left was essentially capable of using the internet to segment essentially all, right-wing thought almost entirely.
To those out there in the libertarian movement, there's also it's taken them 30 years to get back to 90s Rothbard,
Yeah.
which is kind of the same thing as Sam Francis,
No,
'cause they had
exactly.
this confluence. They had this moment
Also, I mean,
in which.
if we look at them, it's not. I mean, I think AE actually mentioned this in a piece the other day, where he sort of looked at the different avenues by which people have kind of arrived to the distant right, and the Mises Institute kind of part of it, which I think both me and yourself have really come through in a lot of ways. It is really the case that that's only really getting back the popularity it had in the 90s again, in a certain sense.
How Trig, having been a little bit more unplugged from the terrible internet news cycle, have you heard of any of the really horrendous like Nick Fuentes drama recently?
No, I haven't. I what is that good friend Nick been doing? I have been essentially since the Ukraine stuff has gone off, I largely just gone, no, I'm out. I'm not watching news at the moment. It's doing my head in. I'm sticking my fingers in the ears and I'm
Wise.
playing D&D.
Yes.
Fuck it.
It's a good plan. It's I think Nick Fuentes and a lot of the America First money is a great idea of the contain of the containment.
Yeah, that's I was having a discussion with this with someone the other day, on bloody Telegram, and I was, you know, they were like, oh well, you know, Nick Fuentes this and that. I was like, yeah, but where does his money go? Who manages him? Who does he work for? And this person was like, well, I can't answer those questions. I don't know where the America's first super PAC money goes to. It's like, of course you know where it goes to. It goes into bloody, you know, pro-Israel lobby GOP people pockets, because that's how the GOP works, and that's how it's always worked. And it always worked, but definitely worked since the Reagan era.
What happened was, is that Nick Fuentes basically went full lolcow and decided to, like, block and ban a whole bunch of people to defend the honor of Ethan Ralph, the Gunt himself. there's an image on screen right now of Ralph with the Ralph as Le Sonichu Medallion.
He really suits that top, to be honest. It's fitting.
He does.
It looks better than the clothing norm. He usually wears like horrendously stretched like grey t-shirts that like they came from Walmart. He might
actually
look better
with the under boob sweat.
The Chris Chan fit is probably a better one for him. But yeah, it was this whole cringe thing, and everyone's like, "Oh, Mr. Medica, demolish them." It's just like, again, why are we stuck in this perpetual 2015 where we have Ethan Ralph and Mr. Internet Aristocrat himself having an internet slap fight on the show of somebody who was supposed to be the bleeding edge of the nationalist right?
No, I've noticed. Is it Jim Medica, his name is. He occupies the same sort of uncanny valley age gap as like Vaush does. He could be 27, he could be 45. I actually can't tell.
Mr. Sean O'Hennessy there with his the white nationalist with his Chinese girlfriend.
Oh, God. One of many.
Yeah, many such cases.
But no, I mean, the thing that gets me is just how much time is eaten up by just shit. Just, yeah, like complete and utter like garbage. I can't wrap my head around it, to be honest. Like, who, unless you are just a complete like Sperg, actually cares about what like Nick Fuentes has to say?
Look at all the energy that was taken defending people like Milo Yiannopoulos, though, or Ethan Ralph, or all these people who end up turning themselves into what we would describe, you know, in the 2015 speak as professional victims. When they start flailing, they all become professional victims. Mm. It's all someone else's fault. They're all being attacked from the left or the traitors or the haters or whatever it is that they see. It all becomes very, very similar. And it all becomes about the egos of an online personality rather than about issues. I think through being so literature-based and being, you know, essentially aggressively dense and boring, we try and avoid that. Because it's one of the few ways that you can.
I just think it's so much more interesting. Like, I don't care what people who spend all day just reading CNN stories or MSNBC stories and knee-jerk into them think anymore. I mean, there was a point in time where I, you know, watched a lot of Sargon or watched This Week in Stupid or stuff like that, because I think possibly at the time I didn't even have the time to aggregate the news crap myself. And I think maybe it gets to something that's not entirely related to what we're talking about, but it sort of comes across our interplays at times, is there is very much a entertainment component of the online right and an activism component. And I can tell you that probably a bit, maybe not on our audience, but a lot of the bigger audiences, I would say upwards of 80 or 90% of people there are just there to be entertained. And they're there to be entertained because they're just tired of the world around them, or they're tired of reading internet crap all day.
Yes. They're watching essentially telly.
Yeah,
they're watching
basically
telly that makes them angry.
Because
telly where they might occasionally be able to go, oh, there's a meetup coming off. You know, and this guy that I've been following it for ages, I can go and touch Sargon's shoulder and go, hi, look at this piece of art I did for you.
Look at GB News, though. GPUs is just, I mean, not just in like the, oh, the ideas in the same, but in the literal sense, in the dynamic of the way the conversations happen, it's just a Sargon stream from 2016, but probably even less edgy.
Yeah, it is. It really is. It's an Adam and Stitch video from 2014, you know? It's a Shion Head video from 2015. It's all these things. It's the allowable edge of the Overton window. It's the you know, what is considered far right now is this pasty, anemic.
There's someone in the chat that's already fallen for it straight away. I'm catching up at 2x speed. The gender shit definitely isn't an internet thing for me. I know a few uni-age Zoomers and they're certainly quite fucked up. Come back in 5 years and tell me if those people are still affected by that stuff. Doubt it. You know, that those are the people who are either so impressionable that they'll be found in a skip, or, you know, they'll come to some kind of sense when they actually have to enter the real world.
You always get the weird, like, it's been the same, the young ones made fun of it. You always get the weird affected people in university, and most of them will grow out of it, and those that don't will either, like, disappear into mental institutions, become like hermits, or they'll just, you know, commit not alive. That's been the case in student circles for an extremely long time, and it's a product of the.
It's like fagging, but no one actually like actively does it anymore. The fags just out themselves.
There's a few people going on about Fuentes. I'm not saying that Herder, you shouldn't block people online. I'm just saying that Nick Fuentes is a lolcow, and also the tool of America First, Israel is our greatest ally money. And that's all he will ever be, is a containment kiddie pool for slightly edgy Zoomers. Whilst he goes on the internet and uses up large amounts of his kudos to defend Ethan Ralph, a man who is quite literally one rung above Chris Chan on like the lolcow pecking order, and I'm going ascending, not descending there. You know, it's a descent into hell. It's also tiresome, as it were. It's ultimately just embarrassing and incestuous. It's like that censored.tv image we use as the thumbnail.
I might just go through some of the crap that I've sifted off of Apple News, because some of that's just superb.
Shall we have a sift through some garbage then? Because the thing is, if you type woke into any new search engine, you get these like daily. It's all very tricky. You know what I mean? It's all very straight bananas.
Oh God, straight bananas. Oh, one of the great arguments to get out of the EU. Not, oh, they're actually literally trying to run the country from a different country altogether and create it. No, they're making our bananas straight. That
Boris exposes bonkers bananas. It's
silly street banana. I've run out of S is a hard S's. One. Yeah,
S is a, that's fair, why. Though.
That is from an era of British headline and newspaper headlines that were always, almost always, absolutely epically funny. We did have B-52 bomber found on the moon. Ready Star ate my hamster.
Those aren't real ones, though, are they?
I certainly know that the Gordon Ramsay's porn star lookalike found half
midget,
dead
midget porn star lookalike.
Yeah, that's the one. They were real headlines. Whether they were actually honest, actual truth stories, I know the B-52 on the moon was the sport, so no. Freddie Starr ate my hamster was the sun, I think it was. So. You've got about a 50-50 chance of it being true.
The greatest headline that has ever been created. I need to get it right, actually. In fact, we need to get this on stream.
Wait, sorry, I've finally got up the big list of stuff. But here is, I don't know, here's just like, I don't know, let's call this like the 10-minute pull your teeth out montage of just...
We'll put it up afterwards, but there we go. Sorry,
classic Tom Harmwood, Viva la Neoliberalism, and then the take you're not expecting, which is basically Richard Spencer simultaneously being like, yes, Der Fuhrer, Macron.
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
how can simultaneously the wettest like British conservative going hand in hand with America's like CIA Wignat in chief just shake hands over like the Macron, like, oh, it's so funny. And then he's got the EU like flag but with a sun wheel and it's all in red. Action France.
That's
the black sun in the back. But yeah, that's great. I love that's some nice imagery he's put there.
It's the whole thing about, oh, it's base neoliberalism, and then you get Richard Spence going, oh yeah, base neoliberalism. It's like, what the fuck? You do start to see these people who have this the identical mindset from all the exponents of containment. They do it from different angles, but the Wignats, the Wets, the mad online people, they all share this.
I remember calling Robert Zephyr out on Twitter for sharing like a Daily Mail link that had been played with to change the thumbnail images from images of like normal Iranian women and like hijabs and that to like these like Aryan, you know, like Arabian like 12-year-olds with like blonde hair and piercing blue eyes and stuff like that. And I clicked on the link and I was like, why is there fake images in here? And why are you using this article as a member of the alt-right to argue for a war for Israel? Because it was Afghanistan, sorry. When the troops were leaving, he was like, no, the troops should stay so that, you know, Afghans' beautiful white Aryan women aren't, like, raped by the Taliban.
I'm trying to think, Trigg, I'm sure you've seen a lot of the stuff, though, with the GB News playing defense for the Tory party and the Tory party themselves playing lip service to this quote-unquote anti-woke narrative.
Well, I don't know. Here's a belter from Piers Morgan.
What's this?
There's one clipped from the Independent. Piers Morgan opens show with rant at royals, trans people and vegans. And then Piers Morgan launched his new TV show, Uncensored, with a rant directed at blah, blah, blah. The programme launched on Rupert Murdoch's new channel.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, in terms of the Tory anti-woke stuff, Trigg, I think we've talked about that before.
We have talked about stuff. It's always lip service. It's always the same as the Labour Party, but with breaks on, by and large. But there is no right wing. There is no minimal government. It is essentially the battle for your mind. Hold on, someone's saying about Russell Brand. You know what? I have been watching Russell Brand recently. Russell Brand has actually been half decent lately. Okay, half decent as in he is not the lunatic he used to be, and he's definitely been going for standard points that will be getting him the
free speech and democracy, guys.
Exactly.
That's the real issue. We're just not democratic enough.
It's his. He's gonna sell you his based bookie work.
Yes, and come and see him live on his show. well, you know what? It's better than nothing out there, but you know it's not great, ironically.
No, because I think I know Russell Brand's next guest. It'll be bloody Douglas Murray. So you can go and tell him that the left seems to hate Britain, yet thinks it's fine for migrants. There's like gay lib Justin Welby and other gay lib LBC women with red hair, and there's Chad Douglas Murray owning both of the libs at the same time because he's that cool and special and stuff.
Wasn't that headline from about that's an old headline. That's an old picture of Douglas Murray.
I know the picture's old, but the headline's only from the 18th of April. This is from like last week or just over a week ago.
Oh really?
Can zoom out.
So say that picture looks makes him look younger than the last time I saw him on anything.
Well, in terms of the victim narrative, though, that's a lot of what we get is very much the pointing out of the hypocrisy and in a roundabout way, the pointing out or at least the amplifying of the idea that the left is all powerful in the cultural sphere. And, you know, it's even with the whole DeSantis thing, there is this undertone of that the left is coming to get your children and you are a victim and you need our help to not be a victim. I know there's a lot of cringe points about it's something I actually expect the libertarians to make more of a point about them. Oh, you can't use the government against your enemies. It's like, yes, you can, but you shouldn't be trying to make yourself more reliant on those people, and you should be as much as possible undertaking your own action. You can do both, and that's the, you know, you should hit them with all the available weapons. But there's this very much this idea of again the compromise of you are a victim and we are protecting you by saying that they can only start propagandizing children at age 10.
Mm.
And it's very, very much, again, the victim narrative.
I was maybe halfway through a montage. I might intercede with a little bit from the piece I wrote the other week called Why Settle for Less? Because I think that is a very important point about the sort of...
Well, I was actually going to mention that. I was trying to lead into it.
Got it up anyway. Well,
there we go.
What I referred to, I think I wrote the piece based on of one of A's pieces, which is actually very good. However, I think it's one of his paywalled ones, so like anyone else. I don't think other people will have seen it, but oh well. Wokeism has allowed for the rise of a new and completely performative variant of right-wing politics, one in which, as academic agent identifies, there is a reflection of much of the same pathetic victimhood narratives and virtue signalling we would generally associate with modern leftism. It brings with it the death of any notion of genuine virtue, as morals become warped as they are appealed to in what amounts to little else than political point scoring. At the time of writing this, Boris Johnson is making headlines for saying biological males should not be competing in female sporting events, a statement that should carry with it no political capital at all. If anything, one might want to consider asking why he did not feel at liberty to say men. And, of course, the height of modern conservative values is the appeal to the sanctity of professional women's sports. Any possible appeals to a long tradition of conservative thought are dead and gone. Buzzwords and common sense are all the rage. I might as well continue on. To the...
R.I.P. headphone users for the throat quiz, though.
Sorry.
Big loud.
I've got an oversized gullet. It's not my fault. Therein lies the rub. Those who decades prior truly grasp what wokeism is and what its purpose is, or what purpose it serves, are drowned out in the anti-woke rabble. Providing they were not already nixed in the past for being unwilling to settle for less, even the anti-woke talking heads of today, who speak at no end about cancel culture, have played their own role in this, such as the spineless Dinesh D'Souza and his upending of the late Sam Francis. Now, the only education on what it means to be right-wing that ever regularly breaks into the mainstream is tainted with the need to be anti-woke first and foremost. Very few of the anti-woke scolds are ever capable of breaking out of the strictures of presently orientated thought. They all speak in a language which ultimately defends all but the very worst parts of the status quo, a rearguard action for the regime a la crocodile. Only those who are authentically committed to right-wing thought are able to elucidate accurately that the very foundations of the status quo are rotten, not just the fringes, that we are not at war with just the radical woke left, but the very society which has spent over a century breeding them. And the mention on crocodile here is a reference to Ilul, of course, because that's all I've read for the last wee while, but it was essentially a satire magazine sanctioned by the regime. So that there was a, you know, I'm beginning to start to, maybe we could look at the anti-woke people as like the sanctioned right. And we, with our unacceptable opinions, we are the unsanctioned right. So our satire isn't, it's not allowed, but, you know, GB News can, as you say, you know, run defence for some fringe aspect of the Tory party and make it look like they represent the far right of the acceptable dialect.
I'm really thinking of the fact that a lot of people, and again, this is something me and you have had conversations with people about before, about the whole fact that a lot of people just want to go back to them. They think the 90s was this like neutral point.
Yes.
Yeah, they're wrong. The 80s, I had the whole, the 80s was better sort of sunglasses on for quite a long time. But it was, the 80s was better, but it was more like the 1780s.
The wrong 80s.
The wrong 80s, indeed.
It's kind of funny. There's There's a clip I saw actually of some Civil War veterans being recorded in the 1930s, and they were talking about the 60s, but they were talking about the 1860s.
1860s.
It's just really funny them talking about
Yeehaw!
the 60s, but referring to the 1860s. But no, a lot of it is this, well, we need to go back to the time that I think was comfortable, and everything after that is radicalism. It's the point I see a lot of the anti-SJWs make about that. It's that we should get rid of the people who I think are victimizing me, and then we should continue to essentially, in their minds, victimize the people that they think are the real racist guys. That
And it's
we need
almost
to.
always their teenage years.
Yes.
So almost always their teenage years, the person who's saying it.
Return to
Yeah.
Fresh Prince.
It's essentially, yeah.
Well, there's this also a lot with the online right, in that they seem to think that traditionalism is a cross between a picture of a reproduction of a Greek statue and like Hollywood's caricature of the 1950s.
And pictures of attractive Mediterranean women and sun wheels.
Yes. The wheat fields. I mean, it's been made fun of for actually quite a while online, but it is very much the case that they seem to think that they would be these glorious warlords if the dirty leftists weren't in place. And it's a very neat narrative for the very online
I
right to
mean,
not do anything
I'm gonna
and
leave
not
this
improve
image up,
themselves.
despite the fact that it's completely unrelated to the tangent I want to go on. But especially when it comes to the more Telegram sector of right wing discussion, as you have probably found out over the last week or so, there is an embarrassing number of people with opinions something along the lines of, you should support Ukraine because they are your white brothers.
Oh God, yeah,
And
I've
they are
seen this
more often
take
than
over
not,
and over again.
yeah, they are more often than not Americans who believe in like pan-Europeanism. And it's like, even like you talk to any American that has actually traveled to Europe, like someone like Radlib, who I know has spent quite a lot of time in Italy at one point, he would never even begin to suggest that, because he understands that like the people in Italy aren't like the people in France, aren't like the people in England, aren't like the people in Scotland, who sure as shit are not like the people in Ukraine.
No,
And
no,
especially when you get
no.
like
And they're
the
sheer as shit, not like the people in Romania.
yeah but like the you get the
Nobody's
folk who
liked
are
them.
in PA groups or the traditional Britain group, and some of them are all right, but they follow along from the American thing, and they get so caught up in the white black thing that it completely blinds them from what should actually be the issues they care about. I mean, one of the things I put briefly in the notes to remind me was that, I have family members who have worked in a number of the different, shall we say, ethnic communities in Glasgow, and the only ethnicity that person has ever had a problem with are the Polish people. Who, if you were to ask any American, would say, "Yeah, you should get on with Polish people because they're white." It's just like you would have to be very Dunning-Kruger, spending too much time on the internet, reading loads of things about like European history that's just really badly written to even believe anything close to that.
It's just Americans just bought into the whole melting pot thing that happened in America. There was no doubt about it. What we were saying earlier about sort of, there's a lot of people in the Midwest that are largely Norwegian and Germanic and so on, but they've got a bit of Italian in there and so on. Their heritage is they are Heinz 57 varieties
Yeah, but
of Europe.
when that gets carried over secondhand back onto like European and British people or Irish people or whoever it is, and they
It
start
really doesn't
saying,
work.
yeah, it's like, what are you trying to like?
You tell an Irishman he should be getting on with those guys over there because they're English.
The Irish can't get on with themselves, like exactly.
I feel like we're straying into my American disease article, which is just literally me for about 7,000 words going, "You are an Amerimutt. Stop thinking otherwise." It's just a very long-winded version of that. As I stand in the light of the McDonald's down the street, I come from a long line of Moroccans, Italians, Spanish, Egyptians. I have a white phenotype, guys. It's a lot of it's very that. It's very the idea of American as a race, or like white as a in quotes as a contiguous race, and the them not understanding. You know that he also British people who go Cecil Rhodes was base. It's like no, Cecil Rhodes was a fucking globalist, and you shouldn't listen to his ideas because his ideas ended up with Britain spending massive amounts of blood and
His
treasure.
ideas are almost perfectly understood and enacted by someone like Joe Biden. And I
Yeah,
mean that in no
or
sense
like
of an irony.
Klaus Schwab is
Well, no, because Biden's like, isn't he like the Wasp King or some shit like
the
that?
wasp. yeah, it's oh, there's the
He's gonna
I,
say it,
again. So it's a
guys.
harp. We don't need any more nigger big shots.
No big shot lawyers.
there's that great clip of the Joe, wake up, Joe
Oh, wake up,
Biden.
Joe. We're going to Hyperborea, Jack.
I've seen you have these discussions with the very online Americans as well, Craig, but
No, yeah.
they don't
Well,
understand.
you haven't seen what I just put in chat.
I saw that.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah, you know what? I get on with most people. I try to be very affable. I get on with a lot of Americans. I have a lot of American
See,
friends. Like, I'm not a racist, guys. I've got a black friend, etc. But
I'm
yeah.
not racist. I have American friends. The thing is, you've gone for the 110 meter hurdles at the Special Olympics. I prefer the Parkinson's egg and spoon race.
Yeah, but it is definitely that is not a race. That is what happens when you mix a whole bunch of races and then step back for 100 years to see what happens. I don't
Well,
know. We
there's
will see.
the there's the there's the confluence though of people who are supposed to be almost diametrically opposed to each other in many ways, which is the online anti-woke anti-SJW liberals and the Wignats. But they have this confluence in that one of them believes that their beautiful, pure market of ideas, liberal society, is being victimized by these all-powerful activists and bread tube, and that Vaush is quite literally stopping their liberal paradise from taking hold. And then you have the Wignats, on the other hand, which believe that there is this glorious global white brotherhood that is being kept down by all these different boogeymen, and that if they, you know, they have been defeated essentially by the black man.
It's
It's
not
like
that we're
they are.
mutts. You're just keeping us down. You're keeping us in chains.
What they've done is they've invented this idea of the global white race, and then what they do is they continuously humiliate it, both outwardly and in their own minds, because they are talking about it's complete routing and
Well,
defeat
there
by
was
these
that, and
brown
also the
beige
fact that when
hordes.
any politician that even vaguely stirs rightwards as in regards to the Overton window, if we want to refer it to as that, people jump in front of their knees like, yes, Massa, appease us. Just,
Yeah.
even if you just repeat our rhetoric for 2 minutes, that's it, you're our guy. It just gets so, it gets so embarrassing that
It's it.
people are in a certain sense just groveling for someone to just repeat the things they believe in. They don't actually want
It's.
any change.
I'll repeat what I said, that a lot of people think about like Daddy Musk now, and you get all these MAGA peds, or you know, the left free speech extremists who are essentially like yucking and jiving in front of Mr. Big Tech, in front of Mr. I'm gonna put chips in your brain. And that yes, massive, please verify everybody, Daddy Musk.
Yeah,
And I just it's in
so you can reinstate Trump on Twitter, run in 2024, and then we can have January 6th too, and have the sec or the sorry, a new record-breaking honeypot.
It's embarrassing that people think that members of the regime are going to save them.
I mean, it's, I think can't remember where someone mentioned it, but like it was just the perspective thinking back on it for a minute of like Trump literally almost demanded that if you really followed him, you really believed in him, you had to be there on January 6th, and he gave them absolutely no direction whatsoever.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing that happens time and time again, and it would seem to me that, you know, maybe some of the way that some of the anti-woke or anti-vax protests and stuff like that got organised were very much organised in a fashion to bring loads of people together, agitate them, and then not give them direction, so that they either go home dissuaded or do something silly.
Oh, we do have
and
a donation.
Also, let's be fair. They also managed to take photos of absolutely every single one of them that are there.
Well, that happens at any... You go to any rally or protest and more than 50 folk at it, someone's taking a snap of all these.
Exactly.
We try to have that as minimized as possible at our own events. But yeah, it's inevitable, unfortunately. We do have a donation, though. Thank you, Glowy, for the $3. He says, hey, guys, that person over there has X trait the same of you. You should totally 100% get along. Human interaction has been dumbed down. Yes, it may be easy to get along with someone that has something in common with you, but that's not really the end-all and be-all of it. And yeah, a lot of it is, like, arbitrary as well. It's like,
People approach the race thing the same way approach the trans thing, that, oh, well, the complexion of the skin is white, so white is white, and that's it. You know, in the same way that, you know, I'm not suggesting that for the vast majority of people that genitals and chromosomes don't decide who they are. That's very much the case. But there are also a sizable number of people, depending on how big a population you look at, that vary quite a lot and actually have lots of the characteristics of another sex whilst having the components of another. And that variation in those things is how people have different characters and different composition. And that's, you know, is why there isn't just the typical male, typical female. There is a variation on both of these sort of factors, and that's all just completely forgotten about, so we can, you know, use the phrase biological male instead of actually just calling the men and stuff like that, because they know, this is funny enough, something I talked to Jess to about the other day because I thought it was funny. I think sometimes they don't use men because on a deeper level it would be weird to categorise people who ostensibly look like women for the most part as men, because in their brain it's like it's just not working. So it's just funny to watch people approach that, hop through all the mental gymnastics to really just avoid the fact that like it's odd to them, and they just can't admit the fact that it's odd.
It's very Ben Shapiro on the libs, but ultimately people just need to say man and woman and not go like, again, you're engaging the dialectic.
Yes,
just remove it. Nobody really had a problem with this pre like 1960s. People knew that there were like mincing girly men out there. It's like a meme in like, if you look at some of the feudal Japan stuff, there's like stuff that makes fun of it there.
I mean, this is something that, I mean, me and Yez briefly mentioned it, the fact that, like, you know, there is the whole canonical history of eunuchs through, you know, biblical times, through Roman times, through late Roman times, through the medieval times. You know, it wasn't like
eunuchs. Not eunuchs.
It wasn't all sorts.
Yeah, there's been
that. Makes you wonder why they named it that, though, doesn't it?
it's called eunuchs because you have to cut your balls off to code it properly.
Yeah, but you know, it's not like people who varied in some sense on that spectrum didn't exist. And as you said earlier on towards the start of the stream, there is just those people who seem to just get angry at the fact that like manly women and womanly men exist. You know, there's just like that seems to set them off. I don't know.
Again, in a normal, healthy, localist, traditionalist society, you don't spend your entire day thinking about how mad you are about gay people.
Unless, of course, the Tory party has decided to use it as a strategy to hamstring the Labour Party, and that's why it's in every single fucking piece of news you've read in the last, you know, 6 months.
Yeah. The problem with the quote-unquote war on woke is you're still talking about the woke issues. And in a political setting, it still leads to compromise. The calling it a war on woke is still admitting that it's a war that needs to be fought and will end with an imperfect peace in which you again compromise to these crazy, to these crazy ideas that really don't exist. In they are essentially invented causes that are being pumped into people's minds. This is not something people naturally worry about. This is, this couldn't come about when people grew crops. You
No.
have to have a very abstracted society for these issues to exist, because they aren't, they aren't natural human issues.
What was that about Netflix? Netflix is so dead. Yeah, no, they are not real issues.
Was that one of the ones I was clicking through at one point there? Yeah,
Yeah,
that was just, it's just this
it's
one. Yeah, this one's complete shit. Heartstopper. It's obviously called Heartstopper because I think I mentioned some joke in Telegram that there's probably going to be several like heart attacks amongst the cast to normalize teenagers to like cardiac arrest or something. But no,
Yes.
the only reason I screenshot the other day is because, see, I can again, it's one of those things I understand how people are got by this stuff because when you read this through, it just fucking boils your piss.
Yeah,
But for
it's
the uninitiated, Heartstopper is a young adult LGBTQ plus story about two teenage boys, blah 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 blah. Actors, homophobia, transgender teenager Finny, who has built up a big following on TikTok, posting about her experience of being a young black transgender woman in the UK, endured difficulties at school herself. Who fucking cares? Yeah, my time at school was shit as well, and it wasn't because like I openly was the person I wanted to be. It's just because school's shit, and you're like a teenager, and you're just full of fucking rage.
Yeah, that is absolutely true.
Oh, I'm having a look at this Guardian article now. What shit's in here?
Oh no, not the
Now the
Guardian.
Well, at least we're not spending the entire stream reading Guardian articles. That
Yeah,
would be
but we're
embarrassing.
reading Guardian articles because not it's not because we find them funny, it's because we find
No,
them
you
like
guess it.
fucking appalling.
Poor Disco. Don't why do you have to be like that at Disco?
Listen, that would be I would imagine having your entire format being simply reacting to. Again, we're kind of like making fun of this stuff, because this is the dialectic it leads into.
Yeah.
If all you do is create response videos to your enemy's propaganda, you're still engaging with it, you're still repeating with it, and you're still only engaging with the bounds of it. That's the entire point that I've been trying to make up on multiple of my Substack articles, and we've tried to make up on multiple of these streams, is that what happens when you get into the victim narrative and when you start talking about, your entire day is all the terrible things the left has done. You're essentially amplifying their power and doing it in a way that is false.
Well, you give them
And mo
you give them the perfect excuse as well. I mean, I've said time and time again, I believe the anti-LGBTQ sentiments, any of which exist, are pretty much almost entirely down to the way that it is portrayed in media. It's the fact that people are bombarded with it time and time again that they hate it, and that's deliberate. They want you to hate it because the more you hate it, the more they have an excuse to keep putting the messaging on there. If you just were capable of stepping over it and convincing people not to consume the media in the first place, never mind, make sure to react to it, just don't consume it.
it's a good point, but I still think that, well, to go back to the best headline ever, somebody actually got it in the chat. Someone just put Quavers in the chat, and I knew exactly that they'd understood my point. But I think this is like a Daily Sport article. It is a Daily Sport article. No, it's a Sunday Sport article.
10 years
It's
ago, the
ten.
lotto made me a millionaire. Now I suck off.
It's just
Well,
specifically Quavers. It's just the phrase, "Now I suck off dogs for Quavers." It's like deliberate British core.
don't
It's
worry.
like,
I'm gonna have to go and grab a belter here and get it up. Whilst we're looking at silly shit. Oh, there
ah,
we go.
dear. I'll be
Here's
Sunday
an
sport.
absolute favourite of
I'll
mine.
Which one's that?
I think this might be from the Viz.
Oh, is this a Viz one?
Yeah,
this Viz is fantastic.
Yeah.
Put it in the I don't think Trey can see this, so put it in the
it's in the Discord.
Alright, the Sharon Matthews.
Yeah.
That is
my
no
beautiful
one else
princess daughter, the Shannon Matthews collector's plate, endorsed by Jeremy Kyle, the people's urchin.
The people's urchin. For those who don't know, Sharon Matthews was like, imagine if Madeleine McCann was an episode of Shameless.
Yeah.
I mean, tell me I'm wrong. That's the perfect description of Sharon Matthews.
To commemorate the conviction of Dewsbury slob Karen Matthews for abducting her own daughter, the Danglebury Mint is proud to present this exquisite plate. Each of these beautiful keepsakes is individually crafted using 100% pure crockery obtained for a car boot sale behind the Dewsbury Bench of Matalan a week last Tuesday. It must be true. It were all round Asda. The plate will be delivered to you in a presentation carrier bag from the exclusive retailer Netto's, and each comes with a certification of authenticity to reassure
fucking
you that
Netto.
It genuinely is a plate.
Do they still? Is Netto still around?
I don't think so. Though.
That's a God. That's such a deep reference. That's like a farm foods reference.
You will derive hours of pleasure gazing at this beautiful memento, or you'll have your tea off. We recommend mini Kiev's value beans and potato waffles.
For those who don't know, like, Netto was like sub Poundland. You used to get beaten up if you brought a Netto bag to school.
Netto
is like full.
Someone's asking in chat. The Viz is based, or was at one point, a very, very, very good sort of like parody magazine of everything British culture for a number of years, and then has kind of run away and hidden during the process of political correctness, really.
I haven't seen a copy of Viz in almost probably more than 20 years. Certainly, I remember in the 80s and 90s being absolutely fantastic. You know, you'd got characters like Spoiled Bastard, you know, Johnny Fart Pants, you know, Millie Tant, the raving lesbian. Fat slags. It really was. Early Viz was brilliant.
Tell you what, I'm gonna have to get
a fat slags is a work of like satirical genius.
Have you ever heard of the Clag-O-Matic?
Big Vern was one of my favourites as well. Big Vern was just utterly psychotic. Buster Gonad was another one. Yeah.
Why? Yep. Is that not how you spell it?
Can you not find the Clag-O-Matic?
No, I can't find the Clag-O-Matic.
Oh, to go off on a tangent while you're looking for the Clag-O-Matic,
there we go. Clag-Gon.
Clag-Gon, that's it, like Calgon. Speaking of turds that you can't get rid of, I until we looked it up for this stream, I forget that Atheism is Unstoppable is on censored.tv. And I'm so glad that from the Brexit thing onwards, with the whole Thunderfoot flame out, we managed to rid ourselves largely of the fedora, the fedora atheists. Like you still had like the Jeff Holidays with his pedo tattoo.
A new breakthrough in ring piece technology. Peddle away those tag nut blues with Clag gone. Oh, this reminds me of some of their other belters. Like, is it a shed? Is it a hat? No, it's a shat.
Oh, the shed hat.
Yeah, is your neighbour annoying you with their loud music and dog that shits on the lawn? Burn their fucking shed down with shed matches from the same company that brought you tire nails and window bricks.
Oh dear, this is all getting very Britcore here. The Amerifags will not understand.
This is
why our audience is we're one of the few quote unquote political YouTube channels that I know of that has a larger British than American audience. Because we actually do. I've checked the analytics, guys. It's borderline, but we do actually have a slightly larger British audience. So hooray for us.
Yeah. You know what? It would be good for the Americans to go, you know what? I'm going to look fucking. Oh my God. I just looked up in the picture of the Klagon. That's fantastic. Yeah. Look this stuff up. Look up Viz. Enjoy it. It'll be an education.
Is goodbye Winnets, eradicate cleft discomfort, gets rid of Winnets, Klingons, Tagnuts, and Dangleberries. Send away to Clagaway LTD.
Oh, the fucking Klagon.
Viz, the Council Gritter. I had some of the books somewhere at one point. I think I got them off my dad or something.
Got a couple of
You
old
think
Viz.
crinkle cut chips are for softies? Go tell it to the Marines. Crinkle cut, the official chip shape of the Royal Marines.
Oh, so many silly
See,
ones.
I think
Well,
Viz
yeah,
might
you
be
sh
one of the few things I miss from Twitter. Where's the Viz Telegram at?
we need to start it up. We need to like the takeaway here is you should consume media that entertains you or like genuinely informs you. You shouldn't just consume to, get angry at a headline and move on to the next headline.
Oh yeah, no, it's much like all the. Do you know what it is? From like 2014 to about 2018, 19, when like Jon Stewart and what was the other one? Can't remember his name. He's the one
I
that
know who
Jordan
you mean.
Peterson likes with the gray, weird gray hair, and he does one of the late night talk shows. But when
Bill
that,
Maher.
Bill Maher, yeah, when all that stuff tried to go across the fine line of information and inf or sorry, ed entertaining and informing, and they tried that for a number of years. And now it seems to me, from sort of like 2019 onwards, really, there has been a growing version of that on the right, where that they
Yeah.
try to blur that line of entertainment and riling you up and trying to inform you, and it doesn't really work. And as you said, it gets blurred. Maybe even we could take the point from like, when you're reading the Viz, and when you're watching one of our streams. And the fact that there is media that tries to do the two of those things at the same time is very. If you were to try and do that from the outset, you would screw it up because of just the weird nature of the content they make anyway. They try to serve both of those
A
roles.
lot of it isn't genuine. You are right about the whole. It's like Crowder and people like that. Crowder's the prime example of like doing like a right-wing daily show. Almost. He also takes every opportunity he can to put women's clothing on, which is a bit suspicious. But that aside, there's a lot of that format. You get your Crowders, you get your Dave Rubens, you get again your Tim Pools. You get your Tide Pod Eaters. You get all of this, which is basically them going, we don't know what to do, so we're going to emulate the mainstream left media, and we're going to send people a fire hose of outrage, but ultimately it's banalities that leads them to do nothing. Because that's really a lot of people talk about, the leftist media inspiring people to action. Mostly, it paralyzes people. Most of its job is to inspire people to apathy and confusion, and to
I mean, that's why it's really obvious when they do engage in a call to action. And that's why the so much of what came before COVID was recognizably different from what came after COVID. Even the stuff that was generally about PC themes very much moved from let's stop complaining about them to let's tell people what to do about it. Now that you're at home during the pandemic, how can you help activist causes or social justice or blah blah blah? Whereas it seems that we've gone the wrong way round again. That maybe there, I mean, there wasn't much of a discussion of practical solutions beforehand, but in a lot of ways, it seems that we're further away from those than we maybe could have otherwise been. I mean, one I always keep coming back to is, in March of 2020, we were given a golden opportunity from national governments worldwide, who decided that we're all in step with one another, going to engage in a policy of house arrest, for purely arbitrary reasons. And instead of all, understanding that and engaging in action to rid that situation or deal with it in some kind of way, or you know, make sure that that wasn't enforced upon us. We just ran around like knee-jerking at BLM stuff during the riots, and we argued with each other about Israel and gays and all these other things that people keep really trying to drive home that they somehow matter when they don't, as we've said a number of times. You know, that opportunity there was given to people who, you know, were in the dissident political sphere to do something about that, and no one took it upon themselves. They just continued to argue as they had done for years prior.
Yes, and there was a lot of, again, the victim narrative of, look at this terrible disease that China's put on us, we're all going to die because of the CCP.
That too. Aye. People wanted to jump. They wanted to be convinced instead of actually opposing the reality that was put upon them, as opposed to just living the reality that they had around them.
COVID is a great example, especially the early days of it, when it was really you know, they almost phrased it as like an online right conspiracy theory when it was going on in China, but not when reported on in the West.
Mm-hmm.
It filled the same role it did for the normies, in that it was people really, really wanting something to happen, but it was like existing completely online. Okay. If you weren't plugged in to the online news cycle, it didn't exist for you until the lockdowns happened.
No.
And then it was forced onto your real life. But again, it's the whole thing I talk about. Like it stopped existing now for people because they've stopped letting it exist. They've kind of like, the attention has petered out somewhat. It's become background noise.
Unless you're one of those people that's buying a Ukraine-coloured face mask, at which point, like, there is no saving you.
No. That's what I keep... You always get like maybe 5-10% of the population who becomes adamantly engaged with these things. That's all you really need, ultimately, because of the lie of pluralism, populism, and popular support. You know, it happened with the terrorism stuff. People who would religiously check the terrorism alert level, as if that meant anything. They would constantly check government websites to find out how afraid they needed to be. And that's what this is. It's people who check up on, you know, they read through The Guardian, they read through, you know,
what new weapons have China got? What new ideas are the groomers developing? You know, who's going to beat me next? So it's almost like a very Stockholm Syndrome sort of problem.
It's like they're going around looking to get hit
in
like an intellectual news capacity. If you have to dig for it, if you have to go out and find ways in which the leftists are humiliating you, you have a problem. That's my take. If you are actively looking for these things, I mean, you were making fun of it, Evelyn, because you found that it was shoved in your face to the Apple newsfeed. You don't really go looking for these things. And I've only gone looking for a few. Most of these I've missed. I've only gone looking for a few of these things as examples for the stream, really. I try and keep myself away from this type of content because it is ultimately useless.
It's unhealthy.
It's only illustratively useful to point out how useless it is, and the language used and the framing used and all of that. You shouldn't really engage with it like it's genuine, because none of it is.
The thing is, it's all mind control anyway. I mean, I'm going to sound like Alex Jones telling you it's all mind control, but it is. It is a you know, hearts and minds type of operation to drive everyone into compliance with what the state itself wants you to feel. Feel bad, I'm going to tell you why you should feel bad today.
It's the whole thing. I don't know why people call our streams black pill, because they're not. What we're trying to tell you is ultimately a lot of the noise that you're receiving and a lot of the bad news that you're receiving isn't real.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
There are otherwise things to be focusing on, and those things are things that are harder to deal with, but they're much more tangible and understandable. And furthermore, there are things out there that you can learn about, and you can go to the pub and talk to people about them, and they will agree with you. Because, like, fair enough, some of the normies are retarded, but they don't naturally take to the woke stuff.
No.
And what you need to do is not use that as a method to then just laugh at, you know, wokeism. actually explain to them that, like, yeah, isn't it funny how terrible it is? It's almost like it's a distraction. And before you know it, they'll start pulling the threads themselves at that point.
It's the thing I described. It really is like the man in the pub politics, that you have to engage with real people, and you realize that your momentum is all of this stuff. The online victim narrative has a lot of utility. Like,
oh, there we go.
The
most recent from Jordan B. Peterson: cancelled math teacher shares how wokeism is infiltrating our schools. Your children were infiltrated when you put them in a public school in the first place. I mean, again, to come back around to the grooming thing, all the people who argue against it and arguing against it, but because they practically don't exist in a position where they are responsible for children, they don't understand that the problem isn't wokeism in schools, it's that people won't take responsibility for their own children.
The time to do this was during the Obama administration, during the whole Common Core thing.
Mm-hmm.
If they wanted to draw a line somewhere where they would say here and no further, that really was the attempt in America, a successful attempt to implement essentially a national curriculum. That's what Common Core became. And they completely shat the bed on that one. There was no mass exodus from the public schools, and they became they become addicted to it. I don't like the argument. It's just like, you can just homeschool, because a lot of people actually can't. They're not in the life position to. And you need to make those people be in that position. But the people who can homeschool should. And the people who can go out there and make a ruckus and essentially scare the shit out of the school board should be doing that. They should have been doing that for decades. They should have been doing that when the whole busing thing happened. They lost that fight. They lost a lot of the freedom of association, freedom of thought stuff in the 60s, and that was codified as this great victory for civil rights. But they just kept losing, and they're addicted to losing. And that's where a lot of the victim narrative comes from. It is really a function of the fact that the dialectic role of the political right is to lose and then have a slight period of integration and to lose again. If you think of yourself as a perpetual virtuous political victim, it's the only way you can really cope with the fact that you are never going to make any substantive change. And it just ends up as like a whining sewing circle where
you're just a weapon boy at that point.
Yeah, people use up all their time instead of going out there talking to people and organizing. They sit in their Discord groups and Telegram groups complaining about how bad the world is. And then woe is me, woe is me because I'm on the right, and that's the cause of my trouble in life.
Damn.
I mean, yeah. I can understand the sentiment of not getting on with the normies insofar as the fact that, there are a lot of people out there who are very shallow and have absolutely no interest in understanding ideas any further than it advantages them in terms of monetary gain or ego gain. So I can grasp why that there is a dislike of normies, but I don't know, I think just for the sense of knowing that everything isn't lost, and that possibly such a proportion of the population is so apathetic that you don't really need to change their minds. You don't need to change the minds of the left either. You just need to get rid of them. And as long as you can get rid of enough of them, clear them out, as it were, then, not necessarily us, but people who are doing what we are doing on a slightly grander scale will probably begin to take up some of that space. It won't be the same mass media, that I can assure you, but, if you were to just wipe out, lefty writing teams and just not replace them with anything.
Again, it's the very online right live in this space where there's this whole thing about conquering Twitter. They have been convinced that Twitter is the online public square. They actually think that Twitter has major implications for the election choices of large proportions of the American public.
Let's ignore the fact that Facebook has an order of magnitude higher number of users and basically constitutes every single person that has an internet connection on the planet. Twitter's a Western phenomenon.
It is. Twitter is a Western phenomenon. Two, there are 30 million Twitter accounts in America. not like regularly active accounts, just Twitter accounts in America.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or what they can we consider an active user that maybe logs in once a year. If you log in once a year, Twitter counts you as an active user. So that's how small it is. And a tiny percentage of those will actually get their news from Twitter. And a tiny percentage of those, again, will actually use it to shape their decisions. There's probably only maybe like 300,000 people in America who genuinely engage with Twitter on a level that it will actually affect their choices. Maybe less.
See, that won't be the same with Facebook, though. Because Facebook's so... Because it actually can pierce the normie sphere, because it facilitates... Yeah. It facilitates their communication. So instead of just pushing the stuff directly in your face, it has it on the side, or it references it. And I'm not trying to say, like, Facebook isn't woke, you know, in any sense. It very clearly is. But it's woke in a slightly different way from Twitter. Its user base doesn't rely on the sort of extreme partisanship you would generally see on Twitter.
No, but it has a soft guiding effect, really.
Yeah.
It has a soak-in influence effect.
Which is possibly a much bigger effect, considering the number of people which it permeates.
I think one of the biggest things that the quote-unquote, you know, whatever we're calling it, the new right, the whatever this is coalescing into, is to tell people to get off the internet.
Mm.
Really. It's to tell them to find ways to exist in real life. And get out of a space that is ultimately false.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's the whole network will come crumbling down at some point. It will only exist for so long as actual dissidents, you know, involving themselves in the sphere. I mean, in short order, both me and yourself and some other people we know have all been removed off Twitter in the last month or so. So... not necessarily big figureheads or talking heads or this, that, or next thing are all silenced, but the connections we made between people and the sort of nodes for different networks that we managed to sort of create, that's been wiped out. You know, that sort of bridge between, say, Pete Quine's community and AA's community existed not necessarily just through us, but in part through us, because we were... You know, we acted as a sort of nexus for both of those communities to pass through in a certain way. And that now that that's not there anymore, once you have more and more of those breakdowns, you will probably have more and more isolated and more echo chambery communities, especially for the sort of anti-woke crap on Twitter. That will probably, that will be, not that it isn't already unbearable. I mean, I think that's part of the whole point of this whole stream, and look at the stupid images we have. Because all this stuff's just unbearable and cringeworthy doesn't even really begin to describe it. But it's probably only going to get worse.
But it just... it doesn't matter.
Can you imagine what they'd be talking about on Twitter in a year's time?
People have this amnesia and they react so negatively to the previous versions of their own online activism. It's like it's like showing people like the Gamergate memes now.
Mm.
And them having like physical... like. Nausea reactions,
convulsions.
They're so bad. But this is what people were engaged with as a worthwhile online fight 5-6 years ago, and they genuinely believed they were going to change the world through it. Mm-hmm. And look at what you expended your energy on. And wouldn't you rather be doing something meaningful in the real world, and not creating this environment in which you are a perpetual victim to your enemies?
Good God, you're reminding me now. It was probably too long ago for both of you, and I'm going to just out myself of being massively old again. There's an old TV show back in the 80s and 90s called Why Don't You? And its whole punchline was, why don't you switch off the TV and go and do something useful instead? And it was just basically lots and lots. It had got Zorro and... it's one of those like Saturday morning swap shop type shows. But so they'd have little shows in between. But his whole ethos was, go out and do this. This is how you do mods for your bike. This is how you make a BMX track. This is how you switch TV off, fuck off, go outside, be active, enjoy life. Was its entire thing. And I feel like we are now that show somehow, in some way.
It's very network. It's very very yell stuff out your windows.
Yeah.
The TV. Issue with a lot of people is that they spend their entire day being mad at things rather than doing anything about them. Because the ultimate no-no in all of this is giving people a framework of how they can do things about them.
Yeah.
God forbid
you draw up, you know, a document that shows people how to plan and take over local school boards or local council boards or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, God forbid you study how the Muslim community in Britain has bit by bit taken Birmingham as a region for themselves and turned it into their own fiefdom. You know, don't look at what they're doing with any lesson, you know, to try and learn any lesson of it. Just get angry at it and ask your government to fix it for you. Because every time you turn around and default to please fix it for me, government, you just, you know, you're identifying your own weakness.
Do we have any other stuff to cover before we close out then?
Not really, unless, I don't know, we want to troll through crap and get more cringe images up, but I think we've tortured people enough, probably.
Yeah, I think we've tortured people enough.
And I think we've covered most of the points I think we really wanted to go over as well.
We've been quite snappy today, yeah. Treg, is there anything you want to talk about our shill?
No. I mean, by all means, watch my stupid D&D thing that I've been doing, but other than that, no. Go outside, talk to your neighbours, go to the pub, have a drink, and tell people, you know, hello from me, if nothing else. If you can't think of anything else to say, tell them hi from me.
Pick up smoking as well, because smoking makes you really cool.
Smoking makes you cool, yeah.
especially if you smoke cigars.
It makes you very, very cool.
Can we get, because we're, I don't know, like freelance and independent, whatever, can we start doing like adverts for tobacco companies, even though they're not sponsoring us? Like, can we do like a mid-roll for like, you know, Drum Tobacco or Amberleaf or something, just for the sake of it.
We could just have like fake tobacco, yeah, because it's, we're gonna fake, like, we'll get some fake classic F1 era Marlboro livery for ourselves, some knockoff Marlboro livery.
This stream was brought to you by Benson and Hedges.
Yeah, the I like the 50s style ones. The only cigarette that 15 out of 16 doctors agree is healthy for you.
I want the 3x5 grid of the Hanks with the one, like,
yeah,
and the one like not happy Hank.
Yes, exactly. Well, thank you guys for watching. We'll try and do some slightly less. I guess this is like anti-punditry.
Yes.
But we'll try and do some anti-punditry or still punditry. So we'll try and do some non-punditry maybe next time. But
as we'd said, hopefully by next week I've worked out how to do, or we have worked out, I should say, some sort of fundraisery thing. And then for the time being, I will probably replace the time I would use for Monday streams to do some of that. But we could probably still do stuff on a Thursday.
We can. Okay. Cool. Thank you guys for watching, and goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.